I invite you to hear God's word in Scripture, reading from Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 9. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and even to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it unto me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Scriptures that we have heard over and over many times. Youth groups, when they come back from mission trips, they share the Matthew text because they've been so moved by how they have served their neighbor. Same thing with adult mission trips. We find ourselves gravitating to this text over and over again. But do we live these texts out? Do we live out what Christ is calling us to do and how Christ is calling us to live? One of the reasons that we have a Sabbath on ending homelessness, not to just go and feed as we did last night so beautifully at St. Stephen's Shelter, but to work to end homelessness completely. I hope that you will hear what we have to share today, take it to heart, and find ways that we can better serve our neighbor.
I invite you for a moment to ponder the word home. What thoughts and feelings arise when you hear that word? Happiness, comfort, coziness, or to paraphrase Dorothy, good or bad, there's no place like home. Now think about the word homeless. Do you have any positive thoughts or feelings about that word? I would venture to guess that the only ones that come to mind are ones that involve sadness, fear, regret, and a desire for the way things used to be. Think about if you know someone who is or has been homeless. Maybe it was you. Homelessness does not just mean living under a shelter or under a bridge, or in a shelter or under a bridge. It can also mean couch hopping. Aunt Susie's one night, a co-worker's the next night, living in unsafe condition like an illegally made apartment because it's cheap rent. Try listening to a child welfare worker tell of her experience in climbing a ladder to get into the apartment of a client she needed to visit. There are many people who are one paycheck away from being homeless. I know when I finished college and got my first professional job, if I had lost that job quite soon, I would have been homeless. I don't know about you, but I didn't save a lot of money in my late teens, early 20s, and apartment managers seem to want to get paid for the room that you rent. So here are some facts about homelessness from a Wilder Foundation study in 2010. There are over 10,000 people in Minnesota who are homeless on any given night. That's about the population of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Minnesota. Two-thirds of people who are homeless live in the Twin Cities. Nearly half of the people who are homeless are age 21 or younger. And of those people, 21 and younger, half are 5 years old or younger. So about 2,500 kids, five and under, on any given night in Minnesota are homeless. There is an increase in the number of homeless parents with children and of people over the age of 55. Thanks to a tip from Rachel Rennert, I learned that a Minnesota Public Radio report in August 2013 found that 10% or 1,400 students at Minneapolis Community and Technical College are homeless. 1,400 kids. Here's some information about the cost of one night for a homeless person in different settings. Hennepin County Medical Center is $2,800 a night. Jail is $262. Detox, $192 a night. 30 minutes with a Minneapolis Police Department squad in an outdoor setting, if you're under a bridge or somewhere, $40. A shelter bed is $33. And if you are renting an apartment for $600 a month, that's $30 a night. That includes your utilities and things like that. It's obvious that investing time and talent in getting people into permanent housing, where whatever issues their homelessness can be addressed, is the most respectful as well as cost-efficient solution to solving whatever issues brought the person to homelessness in the beginning. Any of you familiar with the psychologist Abraham Maslow, my dad was a psychologist, so I'm way familiar with this, might remember his theory of the hierarchy of needs. He proposed that people's universal needs are on a pyramid, and said if you don't get your needs at the base of the pyramid met, you can be anxious or stressed and have difficulty achieving all other needs on the pyramid. Safety, love, self-esteem. He called it self-actualization, which is really realizing your full potential. And look at what's on the base level. If you don't get that, those needs met. Physiological needs. Food, water, sleep, clothing, shelter. I'm sure that everyone in this room has had the experience of being so sleep-deprived, new moms, or hungry, if you're a hiker, that you can focus on little else but getting that basic need met as soon as possible. And those conditions are just a moment in time for most of us. Think about not knowing day after day where you and your children will sleep that night. Anyone who is homeless will have difficulty focusing on or improving relationships or trying to get ahead at work or becoming more spiritually connected within their community. Just imagine for a moment the life of a child in a homeless situation where the parent is couch hopping because transportation is too difficult to arrange by going to a shelter and you want to get to your job. Chances are, as a child, you miss a lot of school. You haven't many friends because of your missed school or changing schools often. You don't know if you can invite the friends you do have over to see you because you don't know where you might be sleeping that night. Your parent tries to wash clothes, but laundry facilities may be unavailable, so you wear the same thing day after day. Your favorite stuffed animal or toy may be lost along the way as you move from place to place, especially since you pretty much can only take what you can carry. You don't know when you go to school in the morning if you'll be returning to the same place to sleep, which the night before was on a couch in the living room of Aunt Mary's with her teenage children watching TV. And where do you get something as simple as a Halloween costume, thinking back to the last holiday? Where do you go trick-or-treating, like your schoolmates do, if you don't know the neighborhood? Is it any wonder that you might be stressed or anxious? I worked in the field of child welfare for many years. I used to remind concerned family members that would contact us, school staff, and even my own staff, that parents don't get up in the morning and put abuse or neglect my child on their list of things to do that day. It's so much more complicated than that. I would say the same thing about people who end up in a homeless situation. They don't get up one day and say, I think my children and I will be homeless from now on. It's so much more complex than that. When we think of persons who are homeless, it is not us versus them. We are all us, just given any number of unforeseen circumstances. Death of a spouse or parent. Divorce. A house fire, as Steve mentioned today. A tornado. Abuse. Untreated mental illness or chemical dependency, etc. Even a rent increase can cause homelessness. If you make minimum wage, which the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour or $15,080 a year, you have about $1,250 a month to supply all of your needs, including shelter, transportation, utilities, perhaps daycare, diapers, personal needs. And this supposes that you get SNAP benefits, the federal food support program, so food you don't even have to pay for. According to the Minnesota Housing Partnership, the vacancy rate for affordable apartments, which is defined as under $1,000 a month, is just 2% in the Twin Cities. And that's under $1,000 a month. And remember, if you're a minimum wage, you get $1,250 a month. New apartments are being built, but the majority of them are for the luxury level renter. Of the new apartment permits that were given in 2011 through 12, 12% of those were considered affordable apartments, which again is under $1,000 a month. Subsidized housing might be available to you if you get your name on a waiting list for about 3 to 5 years. This congregation has a long history of addressing not just homelessness, but in helping to alleviate all kinds of troubles in the world. And as Lori said, we were at St. Stephen's last night. We were entertained by a delightful man with a delightful voice who sang this most beautiful, sacred song, and we all just clapped. It was just a very moving experience. The Grande sale, at least when we were in the other building, we had many people that came in that really bought what they could carry that day. So we have a long history of mission towards this area. It is a hope that in 2014, we, along with the other 15 congregational members of the Downtown Congregations to End Homelessness, there's a brochure in your bulletin, that we can find new ways to inform ourselves about the problem of homelessness, influence those with power to make change, and form our mission activities around this issue. There may be petitions to sign if you wish, books to read, any number of ways that haven't been identified. 2014 will be a year of continuing to develop our repairing and restoring skills for those who are homeless. So back to the word home again. Do you feel just a little bit more grateful now to have one? In 2014, we will have the opportunity to put that gratitude into action.
Karen is our representative on the interfaith team for Downtown Congregations to End Homelessness, and I believe we have the perfect person serving on that interfaith team. Karen has resources from the work that she has done as a social worker, and she knows the complexity that surrounds homelessness And so she will be a wealth of information and resource for us throughout this coming year. Our mission team has decided to focus on homelessness for 2014. So any of the activities that we do that are outreach-oriented have to fall under the lens of homelessness in some way. As you can imagine, it's a pretty wide lens. We will be able to do many outreach activities. But I do want to talk just a minute about our experience last night, as Karen alluded to. If you haven't been to St. Stephen's Shelter, if you haven't had the opportunity to go and be in the midst of those who truly have a bed to sleep in at night and have to wander in the day, we will be offering other opportunities for you to have it, and I encourage everybody in the congregation that is able to go and experience this. For besides the gentleman who sang with an incredible voice, my goodness, you would love to have a choir filled with this man, Jim. Besides him, there were other gentlemen there, because it's a men's shelter, that you could tell they had done a day's work. The first man in line to eat said, I asked him if he was ready to eat, and he said, "Yes, ma'am, I've been working all day." Notice he said, "Yes, ma'am." It was great. I thought I was back in the South there for a minute. He said, "Yes, ma'am." Everybody that came through thanked every single server for serving them that day. They waited in line. They didn't push like we do of getting up there and getting to the food, right? Very respectful, hardworking men. Toward the end of the meal, when we had served everyone and people had come through for seconds, we kept asking, "Is there anyone else?" Because we did have some more food. And one of the gentlemen in charge there went and walked down the halls, and I think Warren went with him, went walking down the halls and came back and said that there were a couple of more men down that way. Well, the two men that came were extremely ill. I told Brian when I went home, I would love to think that they were much older than I thought they were, but I'm pretty sure they were much younger than I thought they were. But they were not in good health, and yet people there were caring for them and making sure they had what they need and helping them get their plates of food. The world of homelessness is not necessarily filled with what you see on the news and the crimes that you see on the news. They're people like you and me, created by God like you and me, and they need our help and they need our compassion. And most of all, they need us to live in ways as such that there isn't homelessness, that we ourselves transform our lives and live in ways where we can help to end it, as Karen is working so hard on over this next year with us. Somewhere in the midst of all this, I hope you have heard the words of Christ. If not, they're up there as a reminder. "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, thirsty? And when was it that we saw you a stranger, naked, and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison? Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." It's all of us. It's everyone that God has created. Amen. As we come to this time in worship,